الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا غلام سم الله وكل بيمينك وكل مما يليك أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. A hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been recited in the khutbah, which is reported on the authority of Hazrat Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiyallahu anhu was the son of Abu Salama. And Abu Salama is the husband of Umme Salama, who later, after the demise of Abu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, became the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the son of Abu Salama and Umme Salama. And as mentioned, after the demise of Abu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam married Umme Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And as a result of this marriage, Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha became very fortunate and very honored, because with his mother, he moved into the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he became the stepson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam took the responsibility of his tarbiyah, of his nurturing, of his well-being. Despite being the stepson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam loved him very dearly. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. the mercy for all the worlds. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama bu'istu rahma." I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mercy. دیکھ کر اخلاق کو اور آپ کے الطاف کو غیر بھی کہتے ہیں تم ہو رحمت للعالمین صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. After observing your اخلاق, O Messenger of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, and after observing your compassionate nature, even the adversaries are compelled to say that you are rahmatul lil alamin. So he was rahmatul lil alamin. He was also very just. So as far as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was concerned, his real son and his stepson, they were both same. And he showered his stepson Umar ibn Abi Salamah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with the same attention and with the same affection that he would have showered his own son, real son. Umar ibn Abi Salamah radiyallahu anhu was a yatim, orphan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has exhorted each and every individual of his ummah to look after the orphans. أنا وكافل اليتيم كهاتين. I and the one who looks after a yatim. I and the guardian of a yatim, of an orphan, will be close like these two fingers on the day of Qiyamah. The Shariheen and the commentators of hadith have said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was either implying that the guardian of a yatim, the one who looks after a yatim, the one who takes the responsibility of upbringing a yatim, will be very, very close to me on the day of Qiyamah, just as these two fingers are, the index finger and the finger next to it. Or he was implying that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide the fate of each and every human, then the difference in status in Jannah between me and the one who takes responsibility of an orphan will be just like the difference between the middle finger and the index finger. The middle finger is only a few millimeters longer than the index finger. So he will be very close to me in Jannah. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam exhorted his ummah to look after orphans, then one can imagine how much care he must have given to Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates this hadith and he says, "Kuntu ghulaman fi hijrin nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." I was a young child in the care of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because my mother married him, after my father's demise, I went into his care and he became my father. He became my guardian. But there was so much love from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to make me sit with him whilst eating, and we both used to share the same utensil, same bowl, same plate. Now just imagine the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu anhu is a very young child, not his own son, stepson. And we all know how orphans are treated in this day and age. Orphans belong to the weak sector of the community. And they have always lived a life of deprivation throughout centuries. Even before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the orphans enjoyed no rights whatsoever. There were certain weak sectors in the community, like the slaves, they had no rights. The women, they had no rights. The orphans, they had no rights. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, and when he was honored with the mantle of prophethood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed injunctions safeguarding the interests and the rights of this weak sector, to which belong the orphans also. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not look down upon Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu anhu, but he showed him affection, love, and he truly loved him. Truly, he was affectionate to him. So he says that I used to sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for food, and we used to share the same utensil, same plate, same bowl. And he said, because I was a young child, I was not familiar with the etiquettes of eating. So my hand used to wander around in the bowl. وَكَانَتْ يَدِي تَطِيشُ فِي الصَّحَفَةِ. My hand used to wander around in the bowl, in the plate. That means I used to eat from my side, and sometimes I would pick something up from the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had lot of love for Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So this did not cause him any inconvenience. But teachers, parents, mashayikh, guardians, those responsible for tarbiyah should always remember this point. Love should never become a barrier in training your child. Many parents spoil their children because of love. He is still young. We know inside that he is doing wrong, but we try to somehow justify it. The murabbi, the one responsible for tarbiyat, should not let love come in between the child and tarbiyah. Tarbiyah should have precedence over everything. Because if love comes in between the child and tarbiyah, you are being cruel to your child. You are an enemy to your child. You will spoil the future of your child. This is where this principle is applied. You have to be cruel to be kind. You have to be cruel to be kind. So when the hand of Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wander around in the bowl, and when he used to put his hand on the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take something from there which he desired, maybe a piece of meat which was on the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he liked it very much, or some vegetable, or without desiring anything, just playing around here there with carelessness. So despite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam having so much love for Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu anhu, and despite not being inconvenienced by this habit of Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam reprimanded him in a very loving manner, with caution and with honor and respect. He did not scold him. He did not tell him off. He said, Ya Ghulam, oh my child. Ya Ghulam. In those days, when somebody used to say Ya Ghulam, then that used to be a very loving word. Ya Ghulam. We find a similar fashion when we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam communicating with his young cousin brother, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. There was nothing inconveniencing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during that conversation. They were both sat together, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Ghulam, ihfadillah yahfadk. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, despite being his cousin, he was much younger than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He was in his early teens when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world. So because of his young age, he was cousin number one. Number two, he was young. And number three, he was very clever. Number four, he had a lot of zeal for ilm. Number five, he was very, very respectful. He had so many qualities. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a lot of liking for him. And this was not a situation of reprimanding. So you cannot say that Ya Ghulam is used only when reprimanding something. No, Ya Ghulam, oh my son. Ya Ghulam is oh my son. Oh my little child. So just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam saying to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Ya Ghulam, he called Umar ibn Abi Salama with the same words, Ya Ghulam, oh my little child, oh my son. Sammillah wa kul bi yameenik. Wakul mimma yalik. He taught him three etiquettes of eating. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam saw only one mistake from Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that his hands were wandering here and there. So all he needed to say was, Kul mimma yalik, eat from your side. Ya ghulam, kul mimma yaleek, eat from your side. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do that because he did not want to embarrass him. So he mentioned two more etiquettes of eating. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in nurturing Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu anhu, holds fast to the adab of tarbiyah also. He does not let go of the etiquettes of tarbiyah. Whilst teaching him the adab of eating, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds fast to the adab of tarbiyah. Because everything has adab. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the adab of eating to Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu anhu whilst not following the adab and the etiquette of tarbiyah, it would not have had an effect on the Prophet on Umar ibn Abi Salama, or at least the desired effect. So he put together a small package of the etiquettes of eating. And after putting together this package, he presented this package to Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu anhu, in which was that adab which Umar ibn Abi Salama radiyallahu anhu was neglecting. So he would not feel embarrassed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began by saying, "Oh my little child, sammillah. Before eating, mention the name of Allah. Begin with the name of Allah. Before eating, say, Bismillah wa barakatillah. Bismillahi wa barakatillah. This is sunnah. This is etiquette of eating. Oh my little child, whenever you begin eating, always begin eating by saying Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Wa kul bi yaminik, it is also sunnah to eat with the right hand. So always eat with the right hand. Before eating anything whatsoever, before consuming anything, one should always say Bismillah. Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Whether it's breakfast, whether it's lunch, whether it's supper, whether it's full meal, whether it's tea, whether it's a snack, whether eating a fruit, a packet of crisp, a few biscuits, always begin with Bismillah. And before eating, the masnoon tasmiyah is Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Any Bismillah will be sufficient. But if a person recites this tasmiyah, Bismillahi wa barakatillah, then he will be carrying out two mustahab acts. Number one, to begin with Bismillah, and number two, to begin with the Bismillah specified for this particular amal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in another hadith has emphasized that before carrying out anything that is associated to goodness, whether from the aspect of the hereafter or whether from the aspect of this world, always begin by saying Bismillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillah. كل أمر ذي بال لم يبدأ فيه ببسم الله فهو أقطع فهو أجذم. Every good action which is not initiated with tasmiyah, which is not initiated with Bismillah الرحمن الرحيم, or merely Bismillah in the name of Allah,
that action will become aqta. What is the meaning of aqta? Talilul baraka. That action will remain with very little baraka. It will become kalilul baraka, very less in baraka. Or another meaning of aqta is ma'dumul baraka. It will remain without baraka at all. All baraka will diminish. Either the baraka will totally diminish from that action, or baraka will remain but very little. So any good amal that we carry out, we should begin by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has specified a specific dua, like at the time of eating, then one should try to learn that particular dua so that he is granted reward for imitating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in two matters. Matter number one, initiating with the name of Allah, and matter number two, initiating with the specified words taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any good amal carried out by a person in the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with a specified tasmiyah, with a Bismillah specified by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that amal, or the result of that amal, will be full of barakah, inshallah. So before eating, before drinking, before consuming anything, one adab is to say Bismillah, Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or Bismillahi wa barakatillah. The masnoon tasmiyah is Bismillahi wa barakatillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sambillah, ya ghulam, Sambillah. Number two, wakul bi yaminik. Eat with your right hand. Again, whether it's a full meal or whether it's a snack, or whether you are eating a date or a peanut or a sweet or anything, whatever you consume, it should be with the right hand. Whether a drink or whether food. And whilst eating, when the right hand is not clean, many people, when wanting to drink water, hold the glass with the left hand. And they just support the left hand with the back of their right hand, and they drink it, thinking that they are carrying out the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that because they are touching the bottom of the glass with the top of the right hand, they think that they are carrying out the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. My Mahbub Hazrat Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, I heard him say that when drinking anything in this condition, a person should ask this question, that although the glass is being supported with my right outside of the right palm, if I let go of the glass, if I let go of the left hand, will the glass stay on my palm, the right palm, outside of the right palm? No, it will fall. If the answer is it will fall, that means you are not drinking with the right hand, you are drinking with the left hand. And why do people do that? Because they think to themselves that because my right hand is dirty, if I hold the glass with my right hand, the right hand will become dirty also. You can use the inner palm of the right hand. With your left hand, put it in the inner palm of your right hand and then drink it with the right hand. And if you hold the glass with your right hand, which is dirty, lick your fingers and then hold it. And even after that, if it becomes dirty, then don't the other utensils on the dastarkhan become dirty whilst eating? The small bowls that we use for dessert becomes dirty. The spoon we use becomes dirty. the plate we are using becomes dirty, and whether this glass becomes dirty or not. Whether the glass becomes dirty or not, it is always washed with the other utensils. Vakul be a meaning. Eat with the right hand. Anything, eat and drink with the right hand. And again, any good action that is carried out should always be carried out with the right hand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّيَامُنَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves using the right hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beginning from the right side in everything that is good. فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى التَّنَعُّلِ وَالتَّرَجُّلِ. So much so that even when putting on your footwear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person beginning from the right hand side, beginning with the right foot. وَالتَّرَجُّلْ. And so much so that even when somebody is combing the hair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it to be initiated from the right hand side. When having a haircut, begin from the right side. When trimming the mustache, right from the right side. When doing miswak, begin from the right side. Because whenever a person carries out an action which is for the purpose of cleanliness, that is something good. So everything good should be done with the right hand. It should be initiated from the right hand side. And anything which is not good, which is filthy, which is dirty, when a person puts on clothes, it is adorning yourself. When a person puts on footwear, it is adorning yourself. So begin from the right hand side. And when a person takes off his footwear, when a person takes off his clothes, he is leaving his adornment. So he should begin from the left hand side. Now think for a moment, my friends. From morning till evening, how many good things do we carry out? If we were to carry out each and everything that we do with Bismillah, and if we were to carry out each and every good thing that we do from the right hand side or initiate from the right hand side, then imagine the number of sunnats that we would be performing on a daily basis. And multiply that with 360 days. So in 1 year, how many sunnats? And if we are living a life of neglect and ghafla, then imagine how much loss we are making on a daily basis. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ghulam, O my little child, sammillah. Begin with Bismillah. Say Bismillahi wa barakatillah. Wakul bi yameenik, and eat with your right hand. Wakul mimma yaleek. And thereafter he said that eat from that food which is nearest to you. Eat from your side of the plate. Eat from your side of the bowl. There are two exceptions to this third etiquette. There are two exceptions. Exception number one. When you are eating using the same bowl or the same plate with somebody who has a lot of love for you and who is not very sensitive and fussy and who knows and regarding whom you know that your taking your hand on his side is not going to cause him any inconvenience and he is not going to dislike it. For example, father and son, lot of love. And when there is lot of love, what do we do with our small child that is playing in our lap? And we have a bar of chocolate. We would eat a little, make him eat a little, and then from the same bar eat again. And then make the child eat again. When there is lot of love between two people, then each and every part of the body is lovable to the other. See, if you place your hand on the other side, that will make the gravy even more tastier for the other person. In such circumstances, this etiquette does not need to be applied. Husband and wife are eating together, they have a lot of love for each other. Father and son eating together, mother and son eating together, mother and daughter eating together, Sheikh and Murid eating together, Ustad and student eating together, and they both know that there is compatibility, there is love, and the other person will not mind. Then this etiquette does not need to be applied. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once invited, and Anas radiyallahu anhu also accompanied him, because he was also invited. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person had cooked gravy for us, and in that gravy he had put some pieces of meat and also pieces of pumpkin. So Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَرَأَيْتُهُ يَتَتَبَّأُ الدُّبَّاءَ حَوْلَ الْقَسْعَةِ. He said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam looking for the pieces of pumpkin throughout the bowl, because there was gravy, there was soup, and there were small pieces of pumpkin, and he loved pumpkin very much. So he said he was looking for it here and there. So Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu on that particular day found out that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam loves pumpkin. And if I love pumpkin, it is not naturally for you to begin loving pumpkin. If I love a particular chocolate, and if you find out that I love this chocolate, it is not natural for you to start loving that chocolate, start desiring that chocolate, start liking that chocolate. Because to like something, to desire something, it is not a voluntary action, it is involuntary action. But the hearts of the Sahaba were so much connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whom until that moment did not have love for pumpkins, not that he disliked them, but he didn't have that special love like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Anas radiyallahu anhu, after narrating this incident, says, فَلَمْ أَزَلْ أُحِبُّ الدُّبَّاءَ مِنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. He said, from that very day and from that very moment, I have always loved very much the pumpkin. This was how close the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in were to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had that natural love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whatever he liked, they liked, and whatever he disliked, they disliked. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted this incident, narrated this incident in his Sahih al-Bukhari. And because of this hadith of Umar ibn Abu Salama radiyallahu anhu, a question arises that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to Umar ibn Abi Salama, kul mimma yalik, eat from your side only. This is from the etiquettes of eating. And a question will arise that why is it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking for pumpkins here and there in the bowl, when Anas is also sitting with him and dining with him? So why are there two separate set of rules? Separate rule for Umar ibn Abi Salama, separate rule for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith under a chapter, and in that chapter Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi explains it. He says that if a person is eating with somebody who has love for him and regarding whom he is 100% sure that my putting the hand on the other side of the bowl will not cause him inconvenience, rather it will make him more happier. Anas radiallahu anhu must have become very happy that the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has touched the food on my side. This has become full of barakah now. So he said, then this does not need to be applied, this etiquette, that eat from your side only. This is one exception. Exception number two. Exception number two is when there are one type of food in the plate or in the bowl or in the tray. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has explained this in the chapter also. So you sit down in the same plate, but on your side is biryani, on the other side is chapati and meat. So half the plate has biryani and half the plate has chapati with vegetable, chapati with gravy. Now because there are two types of food, وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِكْ, eat only from your side, this etiquette will not be applied. Because if this etiquette is applied, then both parties will be deprived of the other food. The one on the biryani side will be deprived of the gravy and chapati, and the one on the side of gravy and chapati will be deprived of biryani. In this case, one is given the liberty to wander around here and there with his hand. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi understood from this hadith also that there were two types of things in the gravy. Pumpkin and meat. So he was looking for the pumpkin on the other side. Wakul mimma yalik. These are two exceptions. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Umar ibn Abi Salamah radiyallahu anhu with lot of love. Now we've understood the hadith, alhamdulillah. We need to apply it. We need to apply it. Another very important thing that we understand is that the seniors should never let the opportunity of tarbiyah go by. Whenever there is an opportunity to do tarbiyah, immediately you should do the tarbiyah. You should let the junior know what is good for him, what is the correct thing to do, how he should behave in a particular circumstance. And the junior should be grateful to such seniors who are always concerned about our well-being. Those who nurture us, those who point out our mistakes, it is for our good, it is for our future. And the reason why we need to stay in the company of the pious, in the company of those who have acquired tazkiyah, who have acquired tarbiyah, is so that they are able to point out our mistake. This is one reason. And the other reason is so that we observe them and we copy them also. And number three, the effects of company will also rub off onto us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to follow all the etiquettes mentioned in this hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the tawfiq to follow the etiquettes of tarbiyah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the barakah of this hadith and all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us all to the Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to fiqh and the teachings of the ulama which are derived from the Quran and the ahadith. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa laqibatu lil muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.
ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاد منه نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.